Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. You can see I'm joined by a guest today. We're going to be sitting down previewing the big, big Bayern Munich game on Tuesday. Lewis Ambrose is with me. You all know him, I'm sure, from the Arseblog family fame with Andrew. Works for One Football based over in Berlin, German football aficionado. How are you doing, Lewis? Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing all right, thanks. As long as Arsenal keep winning, then there's no complaints from me.
It makes life a little bit easier, doesn't it? Now, let me flag up to everyone watching this. We were pre-recording this show. We're sitting down on Sunday to record this. As you all know, I'm away on holiday this week, so I'm missing a fairly big game on Tuesday, but I wanted to put some content out while I was away. So I've pre-recorded a couple of shows. Got this one with Lewis, which I think is going to go out on Tuesday, or it might be Monday. So depending on what time of day you're watching this, you'll realise I've made my decision. Got Inside Arsenal Extra Time with James Benge coming out as well a little bit later on in the week, where we're discussing our player of the season. So keep your eyes peeled for that. But in today's show, it's all about Bayern Munich and that huge game on Tuesday. Two teams going into it, safe to say, in a little bit of different type of run of forms. It was certainly safe to say, maybe a little bit of an understatement. Lewis knows all about what's going on with Bayern Munich at the moment. And so what is going on, Lewis? I think that's probably the big question. I mean, they are arriving on Tuesday in a bit of a, well, it's a shambles, isn't it, over there at the moment?
It is. I mean, German media loves nothing more than being able to talk about a Bayern Munich crisis. FC Hollywood, as they've been known over the years in Germany, for all of the drama that can surround the club. And the conversations after their defeat yesterday were, will Thomas Tuchel even be in charge on Tuesday? The club have said that he definitely will be, but that didn't stop the reporters on Sky from asking the questions and then re-asking them and asking them again and over and over again. You've pulled the quote up on the screen there. As I say, on Sky yesterday, it was said in an interview after the game that he 100% will be in charge of the Arsenal game on Tuesday. And still, when they changed over to the Dortmund game, which is the late game in the Bundesliga, Lothar Matthäus was stood pitch side saying they've got a big decision to make over the next 24 hours because he doesn't really see how it can keep going.
I saw those quotes. He was saying he was quite excited about the prospect of Bayern having an interim manager in charge on Tuesday.
The thing is, I think they would have if they had anybody. It's been decided that Thomas Tuchel won't be in charge next season, but he'll stay until the end of the season. And I think that decision shows you that there just really isn't an alternative, and they'd have been quite happy to part ways a few weeks ago after it became quite clear that Bayer Leverkusen would almost certainly win the league. Bayern obviously lost their first leg against Lazio in the Champions League as well. Tuchel was under a lot of pressure then. They managed to turn that around. And at the time, it was very much like if Bayern don't win at the Allianz and turn the tie around, then Tuchel won't see out the rest of the season. Now that's obviously changed and he will see out the rest of the season. But, we're going to Tuesday's game. They've lost 5 games in this second half of the season already, I think, in the Bundesliga alone. It's pretty unprecedented for Bayern. And I think, interestingly, that it's like they've been rocked completely by this Leverkusen form and storm into the title. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bayern had lost one game in the first half of the season. It was by no means, it was maybe not vintage Bayern, but it was by no means a dreadful league season, league performance. They went to Leverkusen just a couple of points behind off the top spot. They lost that day pretty convincingly. And since then, it's like everybody realised inside the club that A, it won't go on with Tuchel. B, the 11 years of winning the Bundesliga on the bounce won't go on either. And things have started to fall apart a little bit.
Yeah. So is this going to be the sort of start of a great big Bayern reset, do you think, come the end of the season? Obviously, a new manager is going to come in. We don't know who yet. But do you think they'll really, really reset and try and go again and rebuild a squad? Do you think they need that? Or is it not quite at that stage?
I don't think Bayern are terrible and that they need a complete makeover, but I think they will do one. I think they'll want a fresh start. They've, you know, considering they've won 11 titles in a row at this point, the frequency they've changed manager with is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be seen as that club that pulls the trigger too early, but you have to go back a while now for a manager that did 2-3 seasons on the bounce at Bayern. And I think it's really surprising when you consider nobody's failed to win the league title. Niko Kovac didn't get long. Hansi Flick won the treble and was gone again after another year being offered the Germany job. Julian Nagelsmann came in and everyone thought he'd be the long-term option, fired, replaced by Tuchel. Tuchel will be leaving at the end of this season. Maybe Nagelsmann coming back in. Whoever it is, I think Bayern have to make a decision to stick with someone. And I think they have to make a decision to listen to the manager when it comes to transfers, when it comes to that rebuild. Tuchel all summer long went on about wanting a holding midfielder and they didn't sign a holding midfielder. They left it to the last day. They had a bid accepted for João Palhinha at Fulham. And Fulham then in the end pulled the plug because they didn't have time to find a replacement. We know that they'd gone for Declan Rice as well earlier in the summer too. But obviously he only had eyes for Arsenal. I think a reset, I don't know how much of a reset is needed, but I think it's time for Bayern now. I think some big names will be maybe not sold, but made available at least. Joshua Kimmich, Leon Goretzka. I think some of those players will be offered the exit, not pushed out the door, but offered the exit. And then obviously you've got that Bayern team that began this run of incredible success, and the players that played under Guardiola, there's still a few hanging on, Manuel Neuer and Thomas Müller mostly. You know, how much longer have they got in them? It's time to probably rebuild a team, an attacking team around Musiala and Kane in the final third, defence around whichever defenders they believe they should stick with. It's been a lot of chop and change this season. Alphonso Davies is probably going to leave because he won't sign a new contract. He'll go to Real Madrid in the summer or the summer after on a free. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like a lot of change, whether they'd like it or not, because of age, because of players running down their deals, players being willing to leave. It won't be the same Bayern Munich 2 years from now. And it's interesting, you know, with Xabi Alonso staying at Leverkusen too, to see if they can not just win the title this year, but retain it next year, and whether Bayern take a year or two to get back to the top.
When you sort of focus in on Tuesday's game, I mean, we're so used to Arsenal playing Bayern Munich, and I think we've all got kind of scarred by previous encounters when these two teams play each other. But there's no doubt, I would say that Arsenal probably favourites going. I haven't actually looked at what the bookies' odds are for this game, but I imagine given current form of both teams, Arsenal probably favourites to progress through to the next round. When you sort of look ahead to this game, is there any way in your mind, given current form, given the state of both teams at the moment, that you can see a way of Bayern really causing Arsenal too many problems? Or do you think it's also kind of dangerous for Arsenal to underestimate? And I'm sure Mikel Arteta is not going to underestimate Bayern Munich. The players won't underestimate Bayern Munich, but maybe fans, things like that, thinking, oh, they're a mess. They're coming here, Arsenal in great form. We're going to comfortably see them off, because there is that sort of the wounded animal type fear maybe of Bayern, and who know, the Bundesliga's gone. This is their last chance to salvage something from the season that they could, you know, just suddenly turn it on in the Champions League. I mean, how do you look at Tuesday's game in terms of how you think, or over both legs, how this tie is going to go?
I think when you look at the way the two teams have done this season, it will be a real disappointment if Arsenal didn't progress. And I think we'll all feel that this is not like you say, the Bayern Munich team that we faced in years gone by. This is a Bayern Munich team that's very much there for the taking. I find it tempting myself to sort of think, I don't just want to beat Bayern Munich after what they've done in previous clashes against us. I want to smash them and rub their faces in it, because the opportunity's there. I don't think it's arrogant. I don't think it's wild to think that Arsenal could, you know, win by 2-3 goals on Tuesday and go out to Munich and finish the job over there quite comfortably. But you just need to look down the squad list of Bayern Munich players, and you know there's so many players that can hurt any team on the planet, us included, you know, from back to front. Alphonso Davies and Kimmich at the back, getting forward, Musiala, Kane, Leroy Sané at the front. Like, these are high quality, world-class players that can do damage to any team on the planet on their day. I think at the moment it's a confidence issue. It's a bit of a tactical issue, a profile issue maybe, with Thomas Tuchel not quite having the players that he would like to play in certain positions. You know, Kimmich has now gone back out to right back because he's not happy with the options at right back. He's not happy with Kimmich in midfield, but he's not really happy with the alternatives in midfield. So it's a tricky one. The balance isn't there with this Bayern team, but if everything clicks on the night, which we know it can with high quality teams, then, you know, you'll be in trouble. It'll be a really rough night against them. We can't take it for granted, anything for granted. Having said that, like you say, the form this season, the form recently of the two teams, you'd have to have Arsenal down, I think, as clear favourites over the two legs.
So where do the big sort of problems lie with Bayern at the moment? I mean, I watched the highlights of the Heidenheim game yesterday at the time of recording this yesterday. Obviously, 2-0 up at halftime, cruising, Kane and Serge Gnabry with the goals. And then I sort of look at the defending in that second half for the goals and the ease of which Heidenheim cut them apart. It was just, for a top team like Bayern, it was really, really surprising to see. I saw Dortmund turn them over a couple of weeks ago or a week ago now. I watched the Leverkusen game that you touched on, and now, Leverkusen out wide just ripped into shreds the fullbacks. I know they've done that to pretty much every team this season with the fullbacks that Leverkusen have and the way they play, but they were just getting in behind Bayern and getting down the flanks time and time again. So, you know, Kane scored 32 goals, I think, in the Premier League, in the Bundesliga this season. So it's clearly not, you know, the top end of the pitch, there's not really too many problems. So I presume all Bayern's poor results, certainly since the turn of the year, has got to be looking at the back line, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think there's been a clean sheet since January in the Bundesliga. Wow.
Is that since Eric Dier arrived at the club?
Well, he did arrive in January, yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting one as well. Will he play? Or who will play at the back? I think for me, the biggest issue is that over the course of the season, the confidence has just been ground to nothing. I've not seen a Bayern Munich team in the last decade that doesn't just go out expecting to wipe the floor with whoever they're up against. A quiet arrogance about them that, you know, whoever they're playing, they have to reach our level and we don't have to reach theirs. And if they don't, then we'll annihilate them. And especially in the big games, especially in the games against, you know, domestically, against Dortmund, against Leverkusen, against Leipzig, the teams that you think might be at the top end of the Bundesliga, that's when Bayern really show up, and they just haven't this season. The game against Dortmund recently, I've never seen a Bayern Munich team in a big game with such little intensity. I think they were rocked a little bit by the fact that, you know, an hour before that game, Leverkusen had scored an injury time winner to sort of, I think it looked like it was maybe the last chance. You know, Leverkusen had gone 1-0 down to Hoffenheim that day. And you get into that point of the season where you can't have a team that you're chasing come back from something like that. You know, you need that door to be left open. Leverkusen scored in injury time. The Bayern players were aware of it. They were watching it before they were getting ready to warm up for their game against Dortmund. I think the air just went out of them completely. Mm-hmm. They knew that the title was probably gone. And then the intensity or lack of intensity in that game against Dortmund, I thought, was unbelievable. I've not seen anything like it. You know, Dortmund routinely go to Bayern and get beaten 4-5-0. To see Bayern turn up like that and play like it was a friendly, it felt like at times. You know, I think Tuchel has destroyed the confidence. I think he's personally responsible for destroying the confidence of a number of players. He spent all summer saying that they needed a holding midfielder, and Joshua Kimmich, who's sort of the cornerstone of this Bayern team, this Bayern midfielder over the last few years, he considers himself a holding midfielder. Tuchel was sort of turning around saying, no, he's more of an eight. He wants to get forward. He wants to get on the ball too much. Positionally, he's not disciplined enough. We need a proper holding midfielder. I think Kimmich and Goretzka too felt really undermined by that. When you see the interviews, it's unbelievable. All season long, when Bayern drop points, when they slip up in the Champions League, Thomas Tuchel's stock answer when he's asked what went wrong today is, I don't know. He says that he doesn't know. He says that what he saw on the pitch was had nothing to do with what they practiced all week, and just sort of says that he's not responsible at all for the performances, and it's all to do with the players. And obviously, I think when you hear that week after week, slowly that confidence disappears. He's chopping and changing players. I have no idea this week against Arsenal on Tuesday who the centre-back partnership is going to be. For a while, Matthijs de Ligt seemed to be massively out of favour. Mm-hmm. Then he's come back in recently for a few big games. Deo Upamecano's played sometimes and sometimes been dropped.
It was Upamecano and Kim yesterday, wasn't it? In the Heidenheim game.
So Kim played a lot. He was the big signing last summer at the back, and he's played a lot. And then there was talk in Germany, really, that he's not played recently because he was tired, because they've run him into the ground. He's played every minute of every game for a while at the start of the season, after a big intense season with Napoli last year. And then he went away with to the Asian Cup with South Korea, and then came back from that and just seemed to be exhausted, and Bayern weren't playing him for that reason. So, for a while it was Dier and Upamecano, then it was Dier and De Ligt for a few weeks, then it was Kim and Upamecano again yesterday. I mean, you compare the situation to Arsenal and the way that Arsenal are playing with Gabriel and Saliba at the moment. We all know that's the bedrock of your defence, your team. Mm. Is to have that stable centre-half partnership that rely on each other, that everybody else knows they can rely on them to perform and read each other's game. And Bayern have been chopping and changing in that part of the team. And I think that instability is massive. And then there's ahead of the back line, there are just gaps. There are big, big gaps whenever they turn the ball over. You saw yesterday with Heidenheim, the gaps between defenders, but against Dortmund the week before, it was more the gap between midfield and defence. And as soon as Dortmund won the ball and got into those spaces, big, big areas to attack and drive forward.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I mean, when you look at the table there, 16 points, it's remarkable, isn't it? I mean, Leverkusen, it's an incredible season.
Feels anticlimactic, doesn't it? That after 11 years of Bayern winning the league, it's sort of done by late March, early April, yeah. When they finally win it.
It's going to be next weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Leverkusen just need to win next weekend to get it done, or Bayern need to lose, don't they? It's remarkable. Granit Xhaka, hey? That's Granit's influence going over there. Fantastic. When you look on Tuesday night then, given the issues that Bayern have got, where do you see Arsenal really being able to hurt them? What do you think Mikel Arteta, what area of the pitch do you think he's really going to target to be able to get at them?
I think it's between midfield and defence. Firstly, it'll be Ødegaard, it'll be Havertz dropping off the front line and the combinations in there. And it'll be down the flanks. We've seen, I thought Ben White played well again against Brighton on Saturday evening, getting outside and beyond Bukayo Saka a couple of times. And that'll be where the dangers are for me. If Martinelli's in, that'll be great. If Martinelli's not, Jesus has played really well again against Brighton. So, you've got Martinelli in the lineup there. Martinelli and Saka with those direct runs, balls over the top, balls through the back line. Rice, we know, can drive in those spaces too. And then those combinations of Ødegaard and Havertz in behind, Goretzka and Pavlovic, if he's recovered from illness. If not, it'll be Konrad Leimer probably in midfield. That's where you can get at Bayern and you can hurt them, I think, this season. more than any time in the last few years, certainly.
I mean, there's lots of talk certainly over here that, you know, there's quite a few injury doubts for Bayern. Are you expecting pretty much everyone who is a doubt to turn out for him on Tuesday? Because Neuer's a doubt. He didn't play yesterday, did he, against Heidenheim? Yeah. Think he'll come back in for this one?
Some of the word in Germany on Friday building up to the weekend was that Manuel Neuer, Leroy Sané, Kingsley Coman all might have been able to start this weekend, but it wasn't worth risking them with the Arsenal game coming up on Tuesday. And obviously the Bundesliga title race all but done. So personally, I would expect to see certainly Neuer and Sané in the team. Coman hasn't started a game since January, so he might be making the bench, but probably not in the 11. Pavlovic has been injured for a couple of weeks and had an illness at the weekend. So I think it'll be a bit touch and go whether or not he recovers. He's come into the team the last few months and actually done really, really well. Added a bit of stability in midfield, and the last few games they've really missed him when he's not been there. He's just a teenager. He was called up to the Germany squad for the first time for this latest international break, but pulled out with this knock that he's had. So I think actually, you know, as ridiculous as it sounds, a teenager who's got a handful of Bundesliga games under his belt, Bayern actually desperately need him to be available to, you know, put his foot on the ball and get a hold of the game, I think, on Tuesday night.
Kind of sounds like Man United with Mainu at the moment.
Yeah.
The Arsenal team I've gone for there, I'm really interested to see who he's going to go at left back on Tuesday. I've gone with Tomiyasu, but you know, it could easily be one of three. I was surprised. I thought Kivior would come back in against Brighton. I was surprised to see Zinchenko get the nod again. We know Mikel loves Zinchenko and what he brings to the team. I'm not sure he'll be playing him against Bayern Munich though, with the threat that Bayern possess out wide. I think he might err on the side of a more defensively solid option of Tomiyasu or potentially Kivior as well. I think Jorginho will certainly start in the hole. I thought he was great against Brighton again. I can't see Thomas Partey coming back in for this one. Obviously, Martinelli came off the bench against Brighton. I think, you know, I'm pretty sure the way Arsenal have been saving Martinelli is to get him ready to be 100% fit for the Bayern game. Jesus did well on the left, I thought, but I still think if Martinelli's fit, you put him out, especially given what I've seen of Bayern and where you can hurt them this season. I'd love to see if Martinelli running at them down the left-hand side. Is there anyone that you'd change looking at that Arsenal team that I've gone for? You'd stick with Kai Havertz as the nine, I presume, given the form he's been in?
I would, yeah. The form he's been in, I think we've as a team, we've attacked a lot better with Havertz up front late as well. I'm the same as you with Jorginho. I know maybe a few people saw him play the 90 minutes yesterday and took that as a sign that Thomas Partey might come back in. I might be proven wrong, but I find it hard to imagine only a second start since August or come in a Champions League quarterfinal.
I just don't think he's going to... Yeah. I think he'll get some minutes between now and the end of the season, but I think as long as Jorginho stays fit, he's ahead of him in the pecking order now.
This midfield has been brilliant, right, for a couple of months now. Jorginho, Rice, Odegaard, and I think, I'm on the same page as you for now. I think Partey's minutes will come when we're trying to make sure Jorginho is fit to start the next one, rather than, you know, like Luton in midweek, you know, Partey came in and it meant Jorginho was fresher for Brighton and maybe with another eye on this Bayern Munich game as well. And yeah, left back, like you say, left back's the one with a number of options. Leroy Sané cutting in and playing on that right-hand side with the pace and directness and one-on-one ability he's got. Tomiyasu, it feels like a game for Tomiyasu.
I agree.
To try and come in and shut him down. Zinchenko, I think, has done well most of the time this season. And to be fair to him, I think he's played really well in a lot of our big performances too. You know, look back to Brighton at the Emirates, Liverpool at the Emirates in that first half especially. And I thought he did okay again on Saturday night after, you know, he's been out of the starting lineup for a little while. And with this running, we're going to need everybody. So I think it's important probably to give him another start and get those minutes in his legs looking ahead. Whether or not, that means he'll start on Tuesday or not start on Tuesday, I'd probably go the same way as you and bring Tomiyasu back in.
Yeah. The sort of 11 you've gone with Bayern there, you've got Dier and De Ligt as the two centre-backs. How is Dier viewed over there? How is that signing being viewed over there? Because obviously over here, it's just one of those ones that you look at and just think, how has that move happened? How is Eric Dier, who, you know, being pushed out at Spurs, managed to get himself a move to Bayern Munich other than Harry Kane just doing his mate a favour? I mean, has he been decent over there? Has he been viewed as a good addition? I mean, what's the thought process?
Not particularly. I think it was, you know, viewed as depth Tuchel badly wanted an extra centre-back in January, and it got down to deadline day, and they could get Eric Dier, and it wouldn't really cost anything, or not very much. So I think it was just all about that, really, and nothing more to it. The surprise has been how much he's played. Mm. And I think, you know, he obviously came in that situation where you need a couple of extra players in January to get you through to the end of the season, and it was underwhelming, I think, for Bayern and Bayern fans to see Eric Dier come in. But the fact that he's actually come in and started and played a lot of football is the real surprise. He's played 10 times in the Bundesliga already. Most of those, if not all of them, have been from the start of games as well. A very odd one that, you know, that he's maybe nudged himself ahead of Matthijs de Ligt or Deo Upamecano at times in the pecking order. Weird signing. And, you know, at the same time, De Ligt has had spells where he's not been fancied by Tuchel. Again, Upamecano is the one that's dropped out a couple of times too. So, you know, that partnership on Tuesday night, I think it could be any of the four, really, between Dier, De Ligt, Kim and Upamecano. Kim and Upamecano, more pace to them than the other two. And De Ligt, probably a bit more quality on the ball, quality in the air. Dier, compared to the other three, I don't think he really brings anything that the other three can't do. And when you go back to that Leverkusen game, Leverkusen were very, very happy to basically man mark and let Eric Dier have the ball. And they'd mark all the options. They'd mark, you know, the other centre-backs. They'd mark the midfielders and not give him anyone to play any simple passes into, and just not bother pressing him and let him have the ball, because they knew he couldn't hurt them. And if Eric Dier does play on Tuesday night, I'd be interested to see whether Mikel goes for the same approach or almost coaxes the ball into Dier and uses him as a trigger to press a bit more aggressively.
There was a couple of minutes in the final 10 minutes of that Leverkusen game when Dier just basically booted the ball out of play, trying to find his man. I was watching it, I was thinking, how has it come to this for Bayern Munich? Getting absolutely, you know, bopped off the park by Leverkusen, title going up in smoke. And you got Eric Dier when you're 2-0 down, hoofing the ball out of play, trying to fight a way back into the game. It made me laugh. I've had a couple of questions come in from, I mentioned on yesterday's show before the Brighton game that I was going to be speaking to you, and a couple of guys have sent in some questions for you on the game. There's one from Louis Courts who said, "Hi guys, question on Bayern. What do you think is the current approach Arsenal should take for this home leg, especially with Bayern's two paciest wingers potentially missing? Obviously, you wouldn't be surprised, certainly, if Sané starts this game. Should Arsenal take advantage of this lack of punch on the break and look to pen Bayern in with a full press and look to blow them away? Or would this be a risky tactic? I have many memories of Kane holding it up and picking those passes to deep runners on the counter-attacks." How do you think Arsenal should approach this, certainly the first leg? What do you reckon their approach will be?
The first leg at home, no away fans, 60,000 Arsenal fans in the stadium. For me, it would be that full press, all out. And like I see this as playing at home first. I see it as an opportunity to almost put the tie to bed if we go out and play as well as we can. You know, I'd take the blueprint as our best home performances this season. You know, we've come out of the blocks and gone at the throat and gone for teams high up the pitch, Brighton, Newcastle, Liverpool. And I'd like to see the same thing again, definitely. You know, you have to be wary. You always have to be wary of how the other team can hurt you. But with Ben White, with Zinchenko, Gabriel Saliba, we managed to keep Liverpool at bay. And if we could keep that Liverpool side without any chance of note at all in the entire game, one shot on target, if we can keep Liverpool to that, you know, even without Mohamed Salah, then we can definitely do the same thing against this Bayern Munich team at the moment. You know, Kane is, you know, it's going to be an interesting game, a tricky game for Gabriel and Saliba. He's in fantastic form, but I think we've done a great job against players who, you know, Haaland recently. Again, you look back to the Liverpool game, we've been good enough against everyone else we've faced so far this season. I wouldn't be changing too much from those really impressive performances that we've had.
Mm. Yeah, I think Gabriel and Saliba were relishing coming up against Kane. You know, I was at the Etihad and I watched them against Haaland. You could just see how much they enjoyed that challenge and how determined they were to keep him out. And you saw those scenes at the end against Brighton yesterday when Gabriel made that block and the celebrations, the defence, they're just loving it at the moment. I think they're just rising to every challenge. And I think they'll really relish going up against Kane. Gabriel's had some, I know Kane tends to score against Arsenal with the odd penalty here and there, but recently I think Gabriel on the whole has done really well against Kane when he's played up against him.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I'm looking forward to that challenge. I've got one here from Dominic. Says, hi Charles, question for Lewis. How is the uncertainty around the next Munich manager impacting the squad right now and for certain unsettled players like Kimmich going into the summer? I mean, you've kind of touched on it already, but Tuchel's and what's going on at the top of the club's clearly having an impact on the team in terms of confidence and how players are feeling about themselves.
Yeah, I think particularly when you look at the situation where you don't know who the manager is going to be, you don't know, you know, if certain players are going to renew their contracts, if there's going to be an offer that they like on the table to renew their contract. And that's part of the problem probably with Kimmich, is how much does either party want to sign a new deal at this point. I think it's got to be a huge issue for them to not have that certainty. German clubs aren't really used to that either. We see quite often, I think it looks a bit weird to the English football fan at times, but you'll see announcements like coaches leaving at the end of season, who the replacement's going to be, are made, you know, in March, in April, because they want to get all their ducks in a row before the summer even begins, and have that squad planning really sorted out for, you know, not going to deadline day, but have your squad there and settled at the start of pre-season. And yeah, right now, I think it's one thing to have a bit of uncertainty, but I think it's quite easy for players when they're playing really intense, like Arsenal are right now, really intense games with a lot on the line every week. I think you can put the future to one side and concentrate on the, you know, that 3-day rhythm, big game, big game, big game. We've got to win every week. Well, the Bundesliga games aren't that for Bayern anymore. They've sort of disappeared into irrelevance. They will qualify for the Champions League. You know, the teams behind them are actually catching them up. Stuttgart pulled level on points on Saturday evening, but the gap's too big to imagine that Bayern aren't going to finish in the top four. So right now, and you've been waiting weeks really for this Champions League game to come along, because the Bundesliga, they're out of the cup. The Bundesliga games don't really mean anything at this point. And you know, I think on the one hand, that is a distraction and it is a problem. On the other hand, I think when this is the last game, potentially the last two games of the season that have any weight and meaning behind them, then I think they can probably turn up on Tuesday and put all of that to one side and sort of move on quickly. As for the new manager search, yeah, they're refusing to answer any questions publicly. I think there's an element of managers that they may be interested in, not willing to talk until the season's over, which just obviously delays everything again and again. They'd have loved to have had Xabi Alonso, and I think it was pretty obvious when you look at the comments from the club that Xabi Alonso was the absolute number one target, and they wouldn't have even interviewed anyone else if he was interested in the job. Now it's, you know, a little bit more up in the air again. Roberto De Zerbi's been linked. Julian Nagelsmann's been linked with returning. So there are question marks, but I think for a game this big, you can put those questions aside for a few days and be fully focused on a Champions League quarterfinal.
Mm-hmm. One last question here is from Vet Paris. Says, hi Charles, question for Lewis. Who would he play up front against Bayern? Would their centre-backs have more trouble against Havertz's physicality or Jesus's trickery and pace? Also, would he bring Zinchenko back in at left-back, given injuries potentially to Sané and Koeman? I think you kind of said already, you kind of agree with me that might well be a game for Tomiyasu, especially if Sané does make it. But in terms of the forward line, you touched on that earlier as well. You said you would stick with Havertz. So you think his, you know, this kind of physicality and his movement would be, you'd go with that over Jesus?
I think I would, yeah. The movement has been brilliant lately. Option. Yeah, again, like the option to go long and to hit him with that. I think his pace is probably a little bit underrated too. If we do hit the channels, you know, maybe not against Kim and maybe not against Upamecano, but if you've got Eric Dier in there, I'd fancy Havertz. I'd back Havertz in the race every time too, and De Ligt as well. And I just think that as well as Havertz has been playing, it says even more about the way he's been playing that, you know, Odegaard's hit a new level. Saka's been on top form. Unfortunately, we've not seen too much of Martinelli, but he had a really good game at Sheffield United before he got injured. I think everybody else has stepped up a gear with Havertz playing up front, and you know, the work that he does physically, I think, to tire defenders, the intelligence of his movement, and those gaps for me between the midfield and the defence, which is where Bayern really do leave space. And you look back to maybe that first goal we scored against Liverpool, back in January, and Havertz combining, you know, dropping deep, combining for us to progress the ball before he makes that run in behind. That's where I think, you know, we can, if they come and they press, we can play through them, and hopefully he can be a big part of that, dropping into midfield.
Yeah, he was so good against Brighton. Where I was sitting yesterday, I was in the overflow section of the press box. So you've got two press boxes at Brighton. One's right down by pitch side, and the other one is literally the very last row in the whole stadium. So I had a proper bird's eye view of the game. And it was, I just watched Havertz, and it was just so interesting from that sort of view that I had of him. The movement, the work rate. I mean, Lewis Duncan, their Brighton defence, they must have absolutely hated playing against him. He just did not give him a second's rest. He was challenging for everything. You know, in the air, on the ball, holding the ball up, linking play. It was such a good performance from him. I think he deserves so much credit for the way he's turned things around. And given the intense scrutiny he was under at the start of the season and how many people were writing him off early, you know, I think he's been great. I thought it was interesting, Mikel's comments in the presser afterwards, when he basically admitted that his plan for him has just had to change because Havertz has been so good in that position that you've just got to kind of go with it when you see a player playing like that, and how he improves everyone else and how the team's playing with him at the top. You've just got to go with it and let it run. And I thought it was interesting from Mikel on that. So when you look at some of the key battles on Tuesday, I mean, I presume Havertz will probably be out there, because that'll be really interesting how he keeps the defence. Sort of keeps them on their toes. But when you look at the key battles and how the game might be won if Arsenal perform the way we all hope they do, where do you see it? What are the battles you see being really crucial?
I think the space that Odegaard can get, and Havertz too, obviously. For me, it's that our right flank could be really interesting. I think Davies and Moose, Davies is incredibly quick and brilliant on the ball from left back, really aggressive wing back. And Jamal Musiala will probably play out on the left, and it's just a fantastic, talented footballer. You know, real excellent in tight spaces, technical, eye for a pass, but above all else, just a fantastic dribbler. I think there'll be a lot of questions asked of Ben White down that side, and it'll be on, obviously, Bukayo Saka. It'll be on Odegaard and Jorginho helping out over there as well. Saliba, if he gets pulled over. But Saka and White, for me, up against Musiala and Davies on that side. Real battle at both ends of the pitch. I think they'll ask questions of us, and hopefully we'll have the space and the time to get forward and ask questions of them down that wing too. I think it'll be a really, really interesting battle. Whoever manages to push the other side back, you know, if we've got Musiala having to defend and help Davies and pick the ball up near their own box, then, you know, we've already not just pushed them back and threatening, but on the other hand, you know, one of their biggest threats is 80 yards away from where they'd like him to be. So for me, that'd be a huge one. That's the one that I'm looking at, is that entire flank, that entire side of the pitch. And then if you go one-on-one, Martinelli and Kimmich, again, going both ways. Martinelli with the ability to drive and get outside. Kimmich is an excellent footballer. Defensively, probably a little bit where the question marks are. But, you know, I think he's a great, great player. I think he's one of those players that we might be linked with in the summer if there's a move away from Bayern. There's very few clubs that Joshua Kimmich is going to be interested in joining if he does leave Bayern Munich in the summer. And you'd probably count Arsenal amongst those clubs. We know that Mikel Arteta loves a versatile footballer who can play in multiple positions. But again, if Martinelli can get at him, then you're negating the threat that Kimmich has in the final third, because his eye for a pass, his delivery, they're both fantastic. I would trust Tomiyasu one-on-one against Sané. I would trust him to, you know, the way he's done against Salah in the past, be able to shut him down and really win that battle physically. And then it'll be up to Martinelli to do the business at the other end, if he's fit, and hopefully he is fit to start.
Yeah, I think he will. I'd be surprised if Martinelli doesn't start. I think the last 2 weeks have all been had sort of one eye on this game when it comes to Martinelli on this. And look, that's brilliant. Lewis, thank you very much for joining me, mate. Really appreciate it. Love listening to your expertise. If you guys don't already, then you should give Lewis a follow over on X. You can find his details down in the description below. And yeah, just another reminder that I am on holiday at the moment. So this is a pre-recorded show. And if my shows aren't coming out quite with the regularity that they have normally been, that is why, because my wife has put her foot down and is refusing to let me do them from from holiday. But thanks for watching, Lewis. Been a pleasure, mate. Thank you very much for joining me.
Cheers, Charles.
No worries, mate. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, everyone. Catch up with you soon. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.